Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Running the option on first down. Hagan has it. He has room. He's got one man to beat. Now he pitches to Flanagan, and he may take it all the way. Flanagan's in for the touchdown.
McKinley Wright from the logo.
Oh,
got it. Oh, McKinley Wright.
Breaks a tackle. Touchdown. Touchdown. That's five for Chris Brown.
The defense of Tomlinson.
Got three people down there. The ball's up in the air. Caught. Touchdown. Caught by Westbrook for a touchdown.
I think they like my Colorado sway. Cause when I'm in it, play. I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in it, go. You know I'm acting bad. Holly get a bus with my Colorado sway.
Welcome into the DNVR Buffs podcast presented by the American Raptors. I'm Henry Chisholm, and we have a lot to talk about. So, it's Tuesday. We didn't do a podcast yesterday, but that's because there's going to be a practice on Saturday. So, we'll have podcasts Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week, and that might be the schedule going forward. We might start doing Monday podcasts, but taking another day off. I think, are they Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday they practice? I think that's right. So, we'll figure out over the course of camp how exactly to do this. This week, though, obviously, nothing Monday, but we'll go all the way through Saturday. Camp starts tomorrow, Wednesday. I'm excited to get out there for that. I think Ryan Green is going to come out with me, which is going to be a lot of fun, and get a little vlog together. Not a whole lot of access this year. Two scrimmages are open to the media and open to the public. Those are Saturday, April 9th. There's a scrimmage. I'll be in the stadium. And then also the spring game on Saturday, April 23rd. So those will be the two times that you guys get to see the team. Those are the two times I get to see the team. And the rest will just be based on what we hear. Had a chance to talk with Carl Durrell today. And honestly, it wasn't all that enlightening. It's the basic spring stuff. What are we working on? We just want to get better. We want to be competitive. There's a lot of people fighting for jobs, that sort of stuff. He said he's cautiously optimistic that they're going to have a good spring just because of what he saw in this off-season, like workout program, all that sort of stuff, some of the meetings they've had. But again, it all just kind of starts up tomorrow. I think the one real piece of information was that JT Schrout is cleared to practice, but he won't be cleared to play in the scrimmages. So we won't, obviously I will not be seeing JT Schrout throw a ball this spring. I bet he's out there like warming up before the spring game. So that isn't true. I'll see him do a couple of like meaningless throws, but, that is obviously notable. And I think that It's first of all not all that unexpected, I guess. When you tear your ACL in mid to late August, turning around and being a full participant in these scrimmages in April, and that'd be pretty quick, right? You know, the Nuggets have it going on with Jamal Murray right now. We're a few weeks away from his 1 year anniversary from his ACL tear, and he still isn't back. So I do think that the goal for JT is probably just to get fully back in time for fall camp, compete for the job, and you'll miss out on some reps, but there's really not much you can do about it. And Carl did add that JT is ahead of schedule with his recovery, so you'll love to hear that. But again, we'll not be participating in the scrimmages, and hopefully we hear a little bit more about what exactly he is and isn't doing in practice over the course of the next month or so. I think that that's basically it in terms of notes from the press conference, but we did get our hands on the spring prospectus, which also came along with, you know, updated roster, some of that sort of stuff. And on top of that, I guess I should say now, there were a couple of transfers from Colorado's basketball team. We're going to talk about those later on in the show. So the second half of the show, we're going to touch on Eli Parquet, Keyshawn Barthelemy transferring out of the program. And if you're looking for that, it's coming here pretty quick. First, though, just some notes from this roster. Not all that many surprises. I'll start there. Probably the biggest surprise is Jack Lamb, the inside linebacker, has medically retired, so he won't be a factor at that position or any other position this season. Apparently he had a shoulder surgery over the offseason, and because of that decided it was just time to hang things up. You'll remember he had a hip injury that was almost career-ending back at Notre Dame before he transferred. Comes to Colorado, he did his best work at the end of the season, and you know, after the surgery, just said, you know what, I'm going to hang it up. The other loss that we didn't know about is Josh Gines. So Josh Gines was a center for Colorado. They actually have him listed as guard here, but he played more center than guard. He will be like a student assistant coach. And I think that leaves the Buffs with a couple of open scholarships. So I think that actually there was a new offer that came in today. CU offered a linebacker transfer from LSU. So that's definitely notable. But I haven't had a chance to dig into him yet. And that does kind of disprove my theory. I thought that with a couple of scholarships in hand, they probably go through this whole spring, see what they have, and then kind of reevaluate, although that would kind of put them in a pinch, right? So you have to, anybody who's transferring into your program has to commit by May 1st. And if they do that, then they're eligible for the season. If it's after that, then they are not eligible for the upcoming season. That doesn't apply to grad transfers, though. And when you look at where there are holes on this roster, you know, you have questions about cornerback, for example. Could they decide that they need just one more guy at cornerback? Probably. But they have so many young players, they're probably just looking for a grad transfer anyway, right? You're not looking for somebody who has 2-3 years left to play. You're just looking for somebody who you know can do the job right now and is out the door next year. And so for that reason, I was kind of leaning toward if they want to add somebody a little more developmental, they still have that week after the spring game to do it, or you get those conversations going maybe a little bit before the end of spring. For the most part, though, I did expect them to be making more moves after the spring. Because the truth is, after spring ball, I bet you probably lose two guys? Two scholarship players decide to transfer out after the spring? That'd be my bet. And I bet that those are guys who are competing for jobs, but for whatever reason think that it probably isn't going to happen. And if that leaves you with, what, like about 4 or 5 scholarships open, that's where you could just, again, I don't think you need that many developmental. This is a really young roster, again. So we'll see what happens there. But those were the two roster changes, Josh Gines and Jack Lamb. Some other notes. I mean, there were some minor weight changes. I'm not reading too much into any of them. I think the one that I'm probably most excited about is, who was it? Oh, it was Ty Robinson. I think he went from 6'3", 185 to 6'3", 195. And I didn't find anybody who'd put on more than 10 pounds, but he was up 10 pounds. I think, Terrence Lang was up 5 or 10 pounds, getting up to 295. I think he's listed 6'7", 295 now. But there wasn't really anything else all that notable in changes in terms of like just build. You do sometimes see those changes over the off season though. I think that that's it for important stuff. Oh, one more. Tyron Taylor listed as strong safety. So he played quite a bit of safety last year, particularly late in the season. I mean, most of the time he played was late in the season, though, so that's why it's so notable. He was still listed on the roster as a corner up until this new roster that came out. So they do have him at safety. I still think that he's probably being looked at for both positions, safety and corner, but we'll just see how that all plays out. Chance Main, the transfer edge rusher, he's listed as a defensive end and not an outside linebacker. He at 250 pounds, you know, I probably expected him to be more likely to be listed as an outside linebacker. It is what it is, and we'll see how they use him. I would guess that they're still figuring out how they're going to use him. You know, that's what spring is all about, is figuring those sorts of things out. Yeah, and now that those are out of the way, we can go through the least important things, and that's Montana Lamonius Craig switches from number 15 to number 1. Interesting, for sure. I mean, Kalen Moore switches from number 21 to number 0. RJ Sneed, he'll wear number 2 at Colorado. You know, again, we've made a lot of comparisons between him and Brendan Rice, and to me, RJ is kind of like Brendan Rice light, except with a lot more experience in production. So 5 years from now, are you going to be saying like, oh yeah, that RJ Sneed, good thing wherever he is, they have him instead of Brendan? Probably not, just because of the physical traits. But the fact that he's wearing the number 2 is kind of fun, I think. JT Shrout switches from number 7 to number 5. Tyron Taylor switches from number 28 to number 5. Trevor Woods switches from number 42 to number 43. Tommy Brown is going to wear number 78. Chance Main going to wear number 90. So we do have those jersey updates. In terms of like hard information, I think we've touched on everything that's important here. At least everything that was important enough to wind up in my notes. So There's all of your like hard facts and info, but there's one more thing that I want to look through before we move on to basketball, because again, this is the last time we're going to talk about football until tomorrow night, after I've had a chance to hear from probably the quarterbacks and Carl Durrell after the first day of spring ball. But oh no, I'm on the wrong page here. While I scroll, I'll say this. So during these spring practices, Colorado puts out their players to watch, and they aren't all that selective. You know, there's quite a few people who make it onto these lists, but it is always interesting to hear what they have to say about who the players to watch are. So let's run through those, and that'll be our last conversation about football until spring ball starts. I'm really excited. Alphabetical. We'll start at the top. Daniel Arias is on there. That's a fun name to see. I think that there's obviously going to be a lot of competition at wide receiver, but Daniel is, I mean, he's really experienced now. Is he 23? I think he's 23 now. So he's been in the program for a while. We saw flashes from him last year. The 6 catches against A&M, I think. Really big game there. Again, hasn't turned the corner. 424 receiving yards in his career, a few touchdowns. Could this be the year he puts it all together? I mean, he has the experience. He has everything. This is his best chance, right? Like, if it's ever going to happen, it would be in the year where, it's year 5, year 6 on campus, something like that. So, again, not a huge surprise to see him listed here, but always good to see. Robert Barnes getting into the B's, a lot of B's. He's listed on here, I think, especially with Jack Lamb out of the picture now, it does look to me more like it's going to be Quinn Perry and Robert Barnes as your starting linebackers. But, you know, you still have a Marvin Hammond there. There's a few guys who could be challenging for those jobs. And because of that, we'll see what happens. At the very least, you'll see Robert as a sub-linebacker, and we will see what happens there. Cole Becker is somebody to watch. Actually, going through the weights, they actually have him 6'3", 220 here. I noticed that he'd gone from 215 to 225. Does not matter at all for kickers. But Cole's on here. Makes sense. He's your starting kicker. Why not? Maurice Bell, he is also listed. How many receivers are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep, there's 5. Oh, 6. Of course. So there's 6 receivers listed. So this will give you a bit of an idea of who those top 6 are, and I think that that's about the size of the rotation. Maurice Bell on here, though, missed all of last season, I believe, with an Achilles injury. I'm actually not sure if he's back in the mix. You know, Carl, again, was not... It's not that he gave, like, short answers or anything, but I think it was Brian who asked, like, there's some guys who missed last year, or got hurt late last year, might have had surgeries, whatever. Can you just tell us the status of some of those guys and, you know, are there any positions where you're worried about depth? And Carl really didn't throw any names or positions out there. Maurice is one of those guys who would be in that conversation, though, right? Typically, the Achilles injury at this point is down to like 6 months or so before you return. And so he should be on the verge, at the very least, on the verge of coming back. We'll just have to wait and find out. Speed threat. Remember, when you look through these guys, a bunch of them with different strengths. Maurice Bell, speed threat, kick returner type. Nigel Bethel, he's also listed here. We've talked about him quite a bit. To me, he's cornerback one coming into the offseason, and we'll see what happens. On the depth chart here, it says, could contend for a starting spot. Sorry, that was really hard to say. Once recovered from a knee injury that forced him to miss the last 6 games last fall. Yeah, I mean, that's basically sums it up. They don't have those for everybody. I'll let you know if there's anything notable inside. Tommy Brown. Transfer from Alabama, has a couple years of eligibility. Obviously, notable name to watch. 6'7", 320 is what he's listed at. Drew Carter, the quarterback, makes it onto the list. There's actually a few quarterbacks on here. And we'll once we hit the last one, we'll kind of sum up this group and see if we can read anything into it. But Drew Carter is on here, and I think that that's definitely notable. Frank Phillip, another tackle, is listed here. So is Jake Wiley, for what that's worth. So with two of those, and actually, so Tommy Brown, Frank Phillip, both listed as offensive tackle. Jake Wiley is offensive line. On the depth chart, though, it's Tommy Brown and Jake Wiley as offensive tackle, and it's Frank Phillip is offensive line. Everybody else is offensive line, so I'm not reading too much into that either. But he's listed as well. Alex Fontenot. Makes sense. He's obviously going to be on these lists. No Ramon Jefferson, who you'd expect to be competing for that number one running back job. He's not going to be on campus till this summer, so maybe that's why he isn't there. Devin Grant. Devin Grant, outside linebacker listed. That's notable. In terms of outside linebackers, you have Devin Grant. You've got Josh Gustav. You've got Guy Thomas. So no Jamar Montgomery on the list. Which again, at this point, probably doesn't mean too much. It's a little piece of information I'm keeping in mind, though. Nothing really written about those two that we need to dig into. Marvin Ham is listed. Brought him up when talking about these linebackers. Notable, because I'm pretty sure it's just him, Quinn Perry, and Robert Barnes listed. So maybe that gives you an idea of who these kind of top three are. And again, it's basically a group that we've had here. Maddox Kopp is listed. I'll say right now, Brendan Lewis is the final quarterback listed. JT is on there as well. I should say that. So there's four quarterbacks: JT, Brendan, Maddox Kopp, and Drew Carter. Not a huge surprise, again, just because they're leaving those freshmen out. Josh McCown isn't on the list, whatever. But the fact that Maddox Kopp is listed and isn't, you know, along with those other guys on the like whatever else, it kind of sets the stage for this competition, right? Especially with JT not really competing all that much early in, I guess, in the scrimmages in spring ball, in the full live drills in spring ball. Brendan Lewis, Drew Carter, Maddox Kopp, somebody's going to get a really serious leg up. And again, I think that Brendan should be the pretty heavy favorite out of that group. Doesn't matter, though. We'll just got to go out on the field and do it. Terrence Lang is listed here. Makes sense. He's one of the studs. Ooh, and in the notes, can become a rare five-time letterman. That is interesting. Montana Lamonius Craig is on here. Another one of the receivers. Makes sense. He's one of their best young guys. He played really well last year. Brendan Lewis, of course, is going to be on here. Isaiah Lewis is also listed. Again, one of those most experienced players. Him and Terrence Lang kind of leading the way defensively. Chance Maine, the transfer, is already listed here. 2 years of eligibility remaining. We'll definitely want to keep an eye on. High ceiling there. Chase Penry, another receiver listed. Again, little slot receiver. He's one of those guys with Dimitri Stanley gone who could really see his usage go up. To me, though, I really do think that they're just going to find the three best receivers and play them. And honestly, they're going to rotate so much that won't even matter. I wouldn't worry too much about who's a slot guy, who's not, especially at the college level where you're playing the field is so wide anyway. It's rare that you have super tight spaces like you do in the NFL just because you have the hashes are so wide, so the wide side of the field is just massive. But again, it still definitely doesn't hurt that the guy in front of him as a slot is no longer there. Quinn Perry is listed. Of course, as of now, he's your starting middle linebacker, so of course he's going to be listed. Torin Pittman. They have Torin Pittman as a cornerback. And I didn't notice this beforehand. We're going to circle back and talk about Torin Pittman in a minute. We'll do that instead because I want to make sure. Because he was not listed as a cornerback on that roster. I'm like 98% sure because I would have noticed that. Nico Reed at cornerback, of course. Ty Robinson at wide receiver. Again, these are the guys you expect to be in these conversations. Casey Roddick. We've been talking about him as kind of on the interior, the one guy that you really bet on to be involved. Tackles maybe a little bit more competitive. Naeem Rodman. He became one of Colorado's better defenders last year. Hadn't played all that much beforehand. Actually, interesting to see. He actually had 314 snaps in 2019, 429 last year. I didn't remember him as having played that much, but I guess the injury was 2020, right? It's got to be in the notes. I believe he was injured in 2020. I could be wrong about that, though. Brady Russell's listed. Duh. How could he not be? Jalen Sommy's listed again, of course. JT Shrout is listed. Talked about all that. Deion Smith is listed. Again, makes sense. He's one of two running backs listed. The fact that Ramon Jefferson isn't there, I think it's just because he isn't on campus yet, but those are kind of the three that you're looking at. Let's see. Oh, I scrolled too far. There we go. RJ Sneed, you know, we've talked about him a little bit. I think he's, again, basically a lock for the starting lineup. I'd be surprised if he isn't a starter. Tyron Taylor, versatile defensive back, again, listed as safety. We'll see where exactly he fits in, but he's listed here as well. Guy Thomas is listed here, your third outside linebacker. Jake Wiley started at left tackle all year last year. We'll see where he fits in this season. Trevor Woods got a late start, played quite a bit last year at safety, and he's the last one here. So, again, we want to circle back on Torin Pittman. Let me double check and make sure he's listed as, he's listed as a safety here, listed as a free safety here, cornerback on this alphabetical roster, cornerback. So they actually, they've listed him about half the time as a cornerback, half as a safety. And I had only thought of him as a safety, but he's very long. I wonder, does he have a bio in here somewhere? 6'4", 185. So again, like, you look at that and say, is that cornerback or safety? Probably more likely it's a cornerback, but either way would kind of make sense. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I think that that's it. Any notable omissions? I'm just going to run through this roster real quick and make sure there's nobody that's super surprising. Tommy Brown's there. You could have seen Noah Fenske there for sure, but that's not too notable. Jalen Jackson, wouldn't have been surprised to see him there, but again, not all that notable. Jamar is probably number one on that list. And I don't think Kalen Moore was listed, was he? I don't think Kalen Moore was. So that's also very notable. No tight ends other than Brady. I think that makes sense. You know, it's Brady and the four freshmen in there. Some of them are third-year freshmen, so you can't really trust the classes anymore. Jalen Stryker, you could have seen him be listed for sure. Alvin Williams, Mr. Williams, neither of them in there, but that's not too big a surprise. Okay, so no, there you go. I guess Ashton Logan, is he on campus yet? I'm actually not sure. I think he is. Yeah, he is. So he's your starting punter, and he's not listed, but I'm not too worried about that. So there you go. There's kind of your quick rundown of these notes. I'm going to obviously keep looking through those tonight and before practice tomorrow. If I find anything else in there that's worth running through, we'll do that. And before we get out of here, like I said, we have to talk about these basketball transfers. First of all, though, Breckenridge Brewery is where I get all my beer and all my seltzers, too. Honestly, the seltzers are my favorite at this point. I still like the Strawberry Sky and the Avalanche. There's a whole bunch of good beers, and I still drink those occasionally, too. But I'm kind of a seltzer guy, and the Good Company hard seltzers are the best ones out there. I like the classic ones. You can go for the lemonade, too. You really can't go wrong. At this point, they've got a bunch of decent options. Whatever you choose, you know that you're going to get good stuff from Breckenridge, and you also know that you're supporting a company that supports sports here in Colorado. On top of that, they're also donating 1% of all of their profits to the National Parks Conservation Association. It's just one more reason to love them and to drink the beers and seltzers and whatever else they make. It's good people. It's good stuff. So definitely check it out if you haven't yet. Also, DraftKings Sportsbook. I don't have any good bets. I have one really bad bet going. So I went to bed last night. Well, I was about to go to bed last night. And I was just thinking, like, okay, can the Nuggets actually make it? What is the ceiling? It's like, well, they could probably get to, like, the 5 seed. 4 seed's probably not possible. But then I was looking, I was like, actually, maybe that 4 seed is on the table. Today, though, they needed the Mavericks to lose. They needed the Jazz to lose. And so I was like, well, they play the Lakers and the Clippers. We'll put together a little parlay. Lakers are currently down by 30. And there's no reason to think anything will get better. That's a really bad basketball team. So I made that little parlay that didn't go great. But I also made an Avs parlay that I do feel better about. And that's going to be on the way here in like 2 minutes, I think it starts. So I'm still making money. Hopefully you guys have been making money. And if you haven't, then right now you can get in on an awesome offer. College basketball season is almost over. The tournament only has one more weekend left, and that means it's your last chance to bet $5 on any team to win any game in the tournament. And I guess out of by any game, I mean one of the three remaining. And if you get it right, you get $200 in free bets. It's a great way to start off your DraftKings account. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code DNVR. Bet $5 on any college hoops team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If they win, then you win with promo code DNVR this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. All right. So the basketball news. First of all, Elijah Parquet is deciding to transfer. I mean, we knew that. He said on this podcast that after the season, he's going to be playing somewhere else. And even before he said that, we knew that that was the case. Just because that's the way that Tad Boyle has handled these additional years of eligibility that come from the COVID-19 pandemic. It's basically just said, we got to keep everything on schedule here. We can't afford to be holding on to extra scholarships there because those are scholarships we can't give out. And there's this little blip right now, but they're just going to power through and keep kind of grinding out the traditional path, you know, the 4 years. And, you know, that was the case last year with Deshaun Schwartz and Jariah Horn and Dallas Walton and Maddox Daniels. And we knew that that was going to be the case again this time around, that that Elijah was going to be gone. Today was just the day that I guess his name actually went into the portal. And you'll remember from that podcast, he basically said like he wasn't really thinking too much about where he was going to go, but he didn't really care location-wise. He was mostly just interested in finding somewhere that's a good basketball fit. And personally, I think that he's going to get some good offers. The fact that he's a 3-and-D guy, like, again, like a grad transfer, come in for 1 year, patch whatever hole. I think that there's going to be a lot of really good teams that say, you know, we could use a good 3-and-D guard, whether he's coming in off the bench, whether he can play the starting two. I think that he is going to get some good offers, and I'm excited to see where he ends up, because it's going to be a lot of fun to see how he translates wherever he goes. Keyshawn Barthelemy. Keyshawn is also in the portal, and that news came out today. This one is a little bit more of a surprise. I mean, a surprise isn't really the right word, though, right? Because this is something that on this podcast we've been talking about for months, is that when you look through this roster, there's a lot of young talent. There's a couple of really big classes, and some of those guys are just going to transfer out. Like, it's going to kind of become clear who the core of the program is and who is not. And because of that, you're just going to see some attrition, some really healthy attrition, you know, because what you don't want is to 2 years from now still be sitting here with Keyshawn and KJ and Julian and Javon and Luke O'Brien and Neek. And, you know, they're bringing in RJ Smith next year, and they'll probably bring in more after that. And all of a sudden, like, 2 years from now, if you still had all those guys, there's no playing time for anybody. Like, that's why we knew this was going to happen, because not everybody can be happy with their role. And again, it was easy to circle Keyshawn just because of the fit, right? Like, the fact that he struggled, and this was he's the oldest of the group. This season was really his tryout to be the point guard of the team. And to be blunt, I mean, it didn't go well. It didn't go well. What shot just under 42% from the season, a little under 35% from three. There just wasn't quite enough there, and particularly on the defensive end. And again, that's where the fit really comes in, because Tad Boyle, he loves some defense. And, you know, for everything Keyshawn was, he wasn't a spectacular defender. I think that the writing might have been kind of on the wall when he came off the bench for those last five games. At least saying like, hey, this probably isn't your job next year. Whether it's Julian, whether it's KJ who starts. I mean, but then you also have Javon Ruffin coming off his injury. Could he factor into the starting lineup? I doubt he starts, but I bet he gets minutes. It makes sense for him to try to find another opportunity. And he's going to find another opportunity. And I think that he's going to get the chance to play kind of be a leader on a team, right? Because that's who he is a score first guy, and everything kind of works off of that. You know, as a point guard, he's a score first point guard. And again, I think that it just wasn't a great fit. And again, that's why we've been talking about the potential for Keyshawn to transfer for months now. So where does that leave CU? Even though they lose two guards, I mean, we named all the names. They're still in good shape. They're still very young. But if you start, say, KJ and Neek, there's your one and two. That's a good starting lineup. That's a good starting backcourt. Now you have Julian, who can come in off the bench, sub at the one. You've got Luke O'Brien at the two. Javon Ruffin right now is kind of just like a total wild card because we didn't get to see him this year. Have to imagine he would factor in. And then again, RJ Smith is going to be a freshman last year. And that I don't expect him to be a starter or anything like that, but I do think he's going to get minutes in the same way that KJ got minutes this year. And so I do think that this is a pretty healthy place, although, you know, just when you have that much youth, it's easy to have some questions. And then from there, you know, the front court is I don't want to say concerning, because it's really not concerning. Like, really what's concerning is still just the three spot. Because when you look at the front court, it's Lawson Lovering at the five. It's probably Tristan Da Silva at the four. And that's assuming that Jabari Walker's gone. Of course, Evan's going to be gone this year. It's funny seeing John Rothstein tweet that yesterday, where it's like, yeah, yes, he is leaving. Do you think that you're... This isn't news. We've been saying this for weeks and weeks and weeks. Evan said this to me. I think Evan said that on this podcast before. Like, that was the thing. But assuming you don't get Jabari back either, then you probably look at Tristan and Lawson Lovering. And then you also have Joe Hurlbert, who will be a freshman next year, who's could be a four, could be a five. He's a good shooter. Fun combination, regardless of who you have there. And, you know, then from there, I guess you look to, like, Luke O'Brien could play up a little bit. So maybe not quite as much depth as you would like, but a really solid group at the top. Although, you know, you do need Lawson to take a step. Tristan needs to kind of be that star now. Now, you imagine you have that same group, but you throw Jabari in it. Well, all of a sudden, you're talking about one of the very best front courts in the Pac-12. And that three spot, though, like I said, is kind of the question mark, because there were plenty of instances. First of all, Tristan Da Silva just started there, so he ate all the starter minutes. And you saw, like, Neek Clifford kind of factor in there. But if we're saying Neek starts at the two, Tristan starts at the four, well, all of a sudden there is that hole. And that hole is supposed to be filled by Quincy Allen, who had the hip injury and redshirted his freshman year. And again, he'll, I think, at the very least, be a strong competitor for the starting lineup. But at the very least, he should be a solid scoring option off the bench. How does, you know, a Luke O'Brien fit in there? So I do think that you do have this little bit of a gap there, and you also should have two open scholarships now, right? So the Buffs really get to choose. And I think that they'll probably look to transfers when we look at that lineup, set that lineup up. I think that you probably look for somebody who can be like a three or four, like that kind of combo forward, play either one of those spots. And if you could get a veteran who's proven, who you could even slide into the starting lineup and play Quincy off the bench, then I think that would really plug all the gaps at the top. You know, with the guards, that's the bigger question, because again, like, what you don't want to do is block good young players. And you like, KJ needs more minutes. You know, he needs more minutes than he got last year, and he's going to be good in his minutes. You know, Neek is probably due for more minutes, although he was already playing pretty big minutes. So you aren't really looking for a starter, probably, unless you're playing KJ as kind of your sixth man and really the only other guard who gets in the game. You know, if you found a guard who he'll start at point guard, you can play with KJ at the two, and maybe Neek slides to three, maybe those are some minutes Neek sits out, then you can maybe make it work. But when you put that scenario together, you're really asking KJ to eat all of the bench guard minutes because he really should be getting starting minutes. And because of that, that means, you know, there's no room for Javon. There's like Luke O'Brien's going to be, I guess you don't really worry about him at point guard, but Julian Hammond, for example, would be kind of cut out at that point. So are you looking for a bench guard? Are you looking for like a combo 2-3 guy? And then also a combo 3-4 guy? And maybe that's how you pass things? I'm not so sure, but these are the conversations that Tab Boyle and his staff are going to be having. And the good news is that portal's so full right now. You know, you found a dry horn in there. You should be able to find another dry horn. I don't want to say easily because that's a good player you found, but pretty close to easily, if we're being honest. So, again, I was kind of honestly surprised by the reaction that I saw where it's like, oh, no, what are the Buffs going to do? And, you know, the worst part is, like, I even had Arizona fans. Like, there was one who, quote, tweeted a tweet that I sent out in, like, October. It's like, Tab Boyle says that he's part of the recruiting process now is finding players who aren't going to transfer. He kind of points to Elijah Parquet as a guy who isn't, like, he comes in, you develop him, and then he gets a play, and that's kind of the process that you have. And somebody just quote tweeted, Arizona fans, like, LOL. It's like, do you not understand? This is, you're totally missing the point. That guy just doesn't get it. And I was like, okay, don't have time to be responding to these people today. But I don't know. It is what it is. And we expected, I think, again, this is something that we've expected for months. This whole thing has kind of played out how we all expected, right? The only question mark being Jabari, and that's the one thing that we've kind of been torn on. And as long as you aren't losing any of your other players, you know, as long as you're not losing Tristan or Lawson or KJ or any of those, yeah, you're kind of set now. At the same time, we'll knock on wood and hope that there isn't something else bubbling under the surface that we don't know about. As of now, though, this should be a transfer season, a transfer cycle that the Buffs get better in. So I think those are all my thoughts there. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about football after football happens. Again, we're going to hear from Carl, going to hear from JT, going to hear from Brendan, and that's going to be a fun group. I think that they're, I guess the weather's supposed to be bad probably inside, so that's disappointing, but spring ball, love spring ball. And we'll get a chance to see him a couple times over the next month. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk then.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.